Well, welcome. Ray, it's good to have you again, and welcome
to
our viewers today. This is the Pulling on Heaven podcast. I like to say we're pulling on heaven 24/7. It's who we are, and it's what we do. What does that mean? Well, I believe we literally, I see it in my mind, just like I'm pulling heaven closer to earth. You know, I've said before, you know, people, you know, are wanting to just be taken away and taken out of their troubles and their hardships. I say, man, we're pulling on heaven, and it's going to pull us up and pull heaven down, as it were. This is just my vision, okay? I even take a rope and wrap it around my my shoulder sometimes and say, we're pulling on heaven 24/7, because it puts in my mind heaven in our grasp, which is literally the Greek word. The kingdom of God is within your grasp.
Right.
And we're pulling heaven down. It's like whatever happens from the earth, whatever you release from the earth is released from the heavens, or to release from bind from the earth is bound in the heavens. I see God saying I'm uniting heaven and earth through Christ by my word and my life that I have placed on the inside of you. So this is that podcast. And Ray, it's great to have you with me again.
It's good to be back.
I get to get you a couple of times in a row. So it's awesome.
It's great to be back. You know, the topic that you've brought up a lot recently is our steps being ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
And that has really been a blessing to me on many fronts in regard to things that I thought were wrong, that were, you know, I was still in the plan and will of the Lord, and he was guiding my steps. And you look back and you see, okay, God, you were doing that. You were doing that. You were doing that. Just proving the scripture to be true. But Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps.
Yeah.
And it leads into all the verses, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will make your path straight. Yeah. And seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to worry about itself. But sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Yeah.
And of course, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There have been so many times where I tried to do it my way. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, really. I wanted to talk to you about, okay, the Lord establishes our steps, but we also like to establish our own steps. We like to control the reins, and we like to drive the car, so to speak. But God always has a way of wooing us back. I at least if you actually seek or are seeking him,
yeah.
I just want to ask you, in your life, or in your, you know, being a husband, being a pastor, being a friend, when you've deviated from that path, where God was orchestrating your steps, you knew it. How did he woo you back? How did he get you back? How did you know you were off the path?
Well, I guess that's a good question. That's a good question. What is the answer? You know, I think about the word says that the Spirit draws us. You know, we know my first sign, if I'm thinking about something correctly or incorrectly, my first sign is losing peace.
Ah.
Or I should say giving it away,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking away from it. When a situation becomes the focal point, you know, I'm praying diligently about a situation. And listen, we can pray about anything. God wants us to have a conversation with us. He knows what's on our heart. You know, there is certainly nothing wrong. Matter of fact, I think something right about sharing what's on our heart and getting direction and instruction from the Lord. You know, if you have a question about something, technology, how do I work this or that? You know, I ask our friend Jonathan from
right.
time to time, Jonathan, how does this work? You know, and then because he's in that world, and he'll instruct me, and I'm okay. And it becomes part of my knowledge, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I can work with it. So there isn't anything wrong with asking God things, of course, but I've found that when my peace leaves, number one, or I walk away from my peace, and the issue at hand becomes larger than I am, then I'm looking through my eyes, the eyes of doubt, the eyes of a man. And you can say, well, we are human. Well, we're more than human. I look at human as dirt, and I look at our creation as ruach, breath from God, the spirit of life. So I'm not only human. We're mostly spirit.
Right.
Because God created us in his image and in his likeness, and God is not a man, he's a spirit. And when we're born again, we're the first fruit of who Christ is. And so we're new creatures in him. But my first alert is that the situation becomes so big, I become consumed by praying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me I'm off course.
Hmm. Okay.
So how do I get back on? I forget about the issue. I set it aside and just say, you know what? God, he knows who to harvest. He knows what the thorns are. He knows what the wheat is. He knows the tares between the wheat. So I'm going to do what I should have done in the beginning. I'm going to trust that God has this, and I'm not going to occupy myself with the issue at hand. I want to get connected to what God is saying, and that's the most important thing. God will take care of the rest. And it's like you said, consider the lilies of the valley. They don't toil, they don't spin. Yet Solomon in all
right.
his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. But we seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus made it clear. He said, here's how you stay on track. If you'll seek my kingdom, the answers are within the kingdom. The answers to your issues, anyone else's issues, what you're concerned about, they will be resolved if you put the kingdom first and foremost, because we are the planting. We are called the seeds of the kingdom.
So good.
So that means that God has planted us. Well, now, let's say you plant an apple seed and it becomes a tree, as right. an example. Well, you plant that seed in the ground. The first thing that happens is it disappears. Second thing that happens is it loses its physical identity, as you can see it. This seed sheds its shell, and the life, if you will, the spirit of the thing, which is the memory of the seed, is what begins to take root. So we have a predestined memory from God.
Hmm.
I mean, we know when we hear the truth. We can be freed by the truth because you have to know the truth. Okay, how do we know it's true? Because God created us for his purpose and for his pleasure. So our built-in design tells us when we're hearing the truth. We just know.
Right, right, right.
We don't need evidence. His word is our evidence. We just know because he created us. He predestined us according to his will and his purpose. So there's something about us. We just know when we're hearing the truth. I believe we know when we're being lied to as well. Sometimes we just choose to believe a lie. But when a seed goes into the ground, the shell falls apart, falls away. So the true identity of the seed can be known and, if you will, measured. And the first thing that happens is it takes root.
Right.
Okay. It just reaches for a solid place, a foundation to be solidified and grounded. And that's what we need to do. You know, when something tries us, the trying of our faith, as James says, what we're supposed to do is to rejoice. Now, I know people say, it's hard to rejoice when you're... I didn't say some of these things were simple, but what rejoicing does is it gets you back in the framework that God is in authority and God is
Absolutely.
Reigning and God is ruling and God is Lord over my life.
Yes.
And he's ordered my steps and I'm not going to go out of the way of the order of the Lord. Now, if I allow my mind to go outside of that order, I'm going to lose my peace. I'm going to give it away. I've said many times, it's like Peter walking on the water. It wasn't that he looked at the sea. It wasn't what Peter looked at when he walked on water that caused him to sink. It's who he looked away from. Mm,
yes.
See, he already saw the sea was tossed. You know, it was in turmoil because of the wind and the waves. He had already seen that. So he was aware that the sea was in chaos. But as long as he looked at Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. But the word says that he looked away. So it wasn't that he looked at the sea that he sank. When he saw the waves, yes. But why did he see the waves in a different way? Because he looked away from Jesus. It's not what he looked at. It's who he looked away from. The word says, keep our eyes set on him like a flint. Keep our
right.
mind set. So to bring myself into order, I know I've done it when that peace begins to return. And that peace comes because I'm no longer concerned about the issue at hand. I'm more concerned. My mind's more involved in the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God. And typically, God will speak to you or to me about something that is not even related to what I'm concerned about.
Right.
And when that happens, my peace returns. And guess what? I begin to see things clearly and realize that I'm not in trouble. I just left the ground because I'm walking on a bridge. In other words, I'm about to cross something that's important. You know, when we feel the soil under our feet change, we can get a little thrown. Have you ever went to step on off a step and the step wasn't really there?
Yes.
And you slam your foot so hard because you anticipate a step that didn't exist. Sometimes we do that. Have you almost fallen because you anticipated something was there and you're tripping over nothing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what happens when we get concerned and think that we're not in the will of the Lord. We're not following the order of God. And it's not saying that we don't do missteps, but God will bear us up. He said, even if you dash your foot against a stone, the Lord will bear you up. Instead of worrying about the stone and stumbling over rocks that aren't even there, if you keep your mind stayed on Him, He said He will uphold you. And He will lead and guide you. So it's really, again, it comes back to the simplicity of He will keep us in perfect harmony, union, and peace when our mind is stayed on Him. So, grade school stuff here. We just keep our mind stayed on Him. Start rejoicing because of His goodness. Rejoice because He is ever present. Thank You for Your love. And instead of being distracted by what I need, remember He said, don't worry about what you need. I know what you need.
Right.
I know what you need.
Right.
But seek the kingdom of God first, and then you'll find your peace and your anchor, and you'll find your answer. Seek first the kingdom of God, all these things.
And when you do that, some of your needs will change, and they will change.
Your mind begins to change when you begin to see who He is.
Right.
And I've said this many times, you'll find that when you begin to seek the kingdom of God, you begin to say, and what is that? Well, let's start with peace and joy,
right,
and righteousness.
Right.
For the kingdom of God, the word says, is not meat and drink, but peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Right, right,
seek
right.
That. So when you start praising God for who He is and what He's already done and for loving you and thanking Him, this is the day, God, thank You for this day.
Amen.
I start my prayer off all the time. God, thank You for this incredible day You've made. You know, this is the greatest season of my life. I haven't inquired as to what the temperature is, so I can determine this is a good day or a bad day. You asked me what I do. I don't check the news to see if we're in a good space economically or, you know, throughout the, you know, in the world, you know, whether war or peace. I don't check the news.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the good news first. I see what the good news says, and the good news says this is the day God has made. So the order of my day is to rejoice and be thankful. So I always start into His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, so I can align myself with the will of the Father. So no matter what I face, regardless of the temperature of the day, I've already determined it's a great day. It's going to be a great winter. It's going to be a great fall. It's going to be a great summer. This is the greatest season of my life. And you know, we say that all the time. This is the greatest season of my life. At PFC, this is the greatest day of my life. And a lot of people have said to me, this is not the greatest day of my life. You have no idea what I'm going through. And I said, well, I wasn't addressing what you're going through. I was addressing who Christ is.
That's right.
In this day.
That's right.
Because this is not my day. This is the day God has made. And if I enter into union with God by praise and thanksgiving, then I'm going to share His view on the day.
Right.
I'm going to share His authority on the day, His blessing in the day. And then my day and my mind begins to change. And some of the things that I wanted and I thought weren't happening, and that's what made my day so bad, I realized I really didn't need, and that was something I shouldn't even have had. I shouldn't have been engaged in concern or worry about it, because God has given me something different, something
right.
Better, something more, something beyond, exceeding abundantly beyond all I know to ask or think. So for me, long answer is that. Short answer is, I just try to keep my mind set on Him, and if my world feels rocked, then I know that I'm walking on a path that God hadn't assigned me to walk on, pull myself back on the path of joy and peace and thanksgiving.
Well, Pastor, I don't know if you realize this, but my world was rocked back in August when you prophesied in my life at PFC. You prophesied, you said, you're going to get a phone call very soon. I don't know if you remember this. I have it on recording. You're going to get a phone call very soon, and I suggest you say yes to that phone call. The next day, I got that phone call, and it was about starting a business, and it was about, you know, pursuing that with a very trusted, close Christian brother of mine who's very successful. And I knew It had to be from the Lord. I had peace. I had this. But the thing that kept resonating with me was, I think it's Matthew 7 where it says, ask and it will be given. Knock and seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. And then there's another passage in the Bible that says, but when you ask, don't ask. You're not going to receive if you ask with selfish motives.
Right.
So you said in that same prophecy, you said, you have to seek God first in whatever that phone call is. I don't know what it is, but you did say you need to say yes to that, but you need to seek the Lord first. And that really rocked me. And so I said, when I got that phone call, I said, I'm not going to do this business the way that I used to do it. I'm not going to put myself out there first. I'm not going to push me first. I'm not going to do this for, I'm going to put God out there first. I'm going to seek God first. I'm going to declare the goodness of God. I'm going to celebrate the no's. Cause I remember you saying, we've got to celebrate. It was so prophetic and into my life that people are going to say no. But God, for the most part, is always saying yes to something that's better for you.
Always.
And that was so, it revolutionized the way I thought about, number one, this business. And so I put God first. I sought him with all my heart. And God has poured out blessings in this business. And I'm not saying that this is why we should seek God, because that is not the reason. I just knew that I needed to seek God because he was going to change my life in a way that had nothing to do with finances, yeah. Had nothing to do with business relationships or success. It had to do with my relationship with him and loving him at a deeper level. So I want to thank you for that because that changed my life.
God be praised. You know, it's pretty incredible that we know God can supply, we know God can do. He can bless us, you know. He wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. All the scriptures, we know that. But if our relationship with God, and it can easily happen, is based upon what God does for us,
right,
and answer the prayers that he answers, and that's what people think. Why didn't you answer this prayer? Well, if that's your mindset right now, if that's how you're thinking, then you need to listen to what you're saying. What you're saying to God at that point when you get angry with God because he didn't answer your prayer is you're telling him, I don't want a relationship with you. I want your servitude. I want you to serve my prayers.
My genie in the bottle.
Yeah. I want you to answer me. I don't want to answer to you.
Right.
I mean, I'll say you're God and I'll pray the prayers and all, but when it comes down to it, I've done what I'm to do now. You know, I want you to perform for me. And what God wants is he wants us to have a relationship through him and by him. So everything that comes us to us comes through our relationship with him, not we have a relationship as long as he's bringing everything to us. And the powerful thing about that is that that provision remains because it's not about the thing. It's about the relationship that we have in favor with God,
right,
because he is our everything. People say it all the time. He's my everything. He's my everything. But as soon as God doesn't perform on their behalf, then they're upset. Well, if he's your everything, then you don't need anything.
Right.
Except the relationship you have with him.
Right.
And it's having that mindset. God, if this is what you've brought into my life today, I'm not going to give the devil a minute's notice or acknowledgement that he did anything, because I disbelieve Amen. That he has any engagement with me whatsoever because I'm free. Okay. Number two, all things work together for good, and the Lord is my shepherd, and I will not want.
Mm-hmm.
So I have nothing to worry about. So I thank you for entrusting me today with this opportunity to believe you in a way that exceeds my imagination and overcomes me. I'm overcome by faith because I can't figure out how in the world this would possibly ever work out. But heaven's about to reveal it. So the point is we become thankful to God for all that he's done and all that he's doing. And it begins to change our perspective, begins to change our mind. And then we can celebrate the no's with a certainty that he is yes and in him is amen. Amen. We sell ourselves short. We would reduce our blessing if we had our way.
Right.
But God is so faithful and loving that he won't allow us to do it. So he builds in us the character and the perspective that we need. And he's long-suffering in doing that so we can know him for who he is. Paul said, there was a thorn given me in my flesh. And he said, I asked the Lord three times to remove that thorn. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So whatever you want to think that thorn to be, I have my own view of that, but whatever you want to think that thorn to be. But then Paul later says, he said, this was given to me. This was given to me so I would not become proud, arrogant, boastful. In other words, I didn't lose my way.
Right.
Because God didn't do it my way.
Right.
I was able to walk in his way.
It's so funny because one of my favorite songs, but one of my least favorite lyrical songs is My Way. And if you think of the words of that song, it's so terrible, but it's such a great, I mean, it's such a great example of nothing is our way. Yeah. And it changes our worship when we think it's our way. When God doesn't answer our prayers, at least I know I did when I lead worship, I'd have a great week. God would be answering prayers. I'd be worshiping and I'd be into it. But when he didn't answer my prayers, it would kind of be diminished.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I come to PFC and I hear, worship God for who he is and not what he does. That will change your whole perspective. And it has. I can't even tell you. And it's, I don't ever want to stop learning. I want to keep seeking and pursuing and I want to go deep with God. I think it's what T.D. Jakes said. He said, intimacy into me, see.
Yeah.
I love that.
Beautiful.
That's who I want to be. I don't ever want to put limits on what God can do in my life, but I also don't want to try to control the reins, which I try to do. I try to orchestrate my own footsteps. I try to drive my own car, and God's saying, go this way. And I'm saying, oh, I don't know if I should go that way. I need to go this way. It's peace when you just say, not my will, but your will be done. And I just thank you for that. I just thank you how much your ministry has changed my life in that regard, because I was like always seeking to hold on to the reins. I was in charge. I'm going to go pursue my business this way. And guess what? They never worked. They never worked. I've had, God has really blessed me in the television industry because I've been employed for 40 years on one show, 30 years on another show, and it just doesn't happen. That's not me. I should have been fired from both shows multiple times, but God in his grace and his mercy kept me there because he wanted me to do other things.
Yeah.
He wanted me in ministry in other areas. He wanted me in ministry at those studios.
Yeah.
So, man, footsteps being Church ordered by everywhere. The Lord. It's just...
Well, and here's another layer to not doing it our way, doing it God's way. You know, it isn't that God's in such conflict with who we are.
Right.
It's that if there is conflict, it's who we think we are that we're not.
That's true.
See, because what drives us so often that we ask God to help us with is fear. We're not being driven because of the will of the Lord. We're driven because of the will of fear. You know, I need this because I don't want to not have a future, or I need God to do this so that doesn't happen. We're not, a lot of prayer isn't driven based on who we really are and what we have, like in the garden.
Right.
They had everything.
Right.
But the thought that we're missing something is what God drives us away from. And God is saying, I've given you everything. You lack nothing. You know, you have all sufficiency in me, in his benevolence, in his great love for us. It's not God saying, that's not my way, that's not my way. God's saying, that's not really your way.
Woo.
You just think it is, but my way is your way. You know, the Lord says his thoughts are higher and his ways are higher, like the heavens are higher than the earth. But he didn't say that's his will. He's saying when you respond to the way you respond, you're belittling your true reality, your true identity, the truth about you.
Mm.
So God's not saying that's not me, that's not me. God's saying that's not you.
That's
not you.
Good.
You're created in me. We're created in Christ. It's no longer us that lives, but Christ that's living in us. So maybe the simplest way to say it is God's reminding us of who we really are, and we think he's resisting who we are, when
right.
he's really telling you, I'm resisting for you who you're not, so you can know who you really are in me.
Wow.
Always is love.
Always is love. So good, Pastor.
Praise God. Well, thank you, Ray, for being here today. I always enjoy sitting down and talking with you. You're so sincere. You're so yielding to the presence and the word of the Lord. And I see such a hunger. And you know what? We'll never, ever stop learning, because his ways are far, far beyond ever coming to the end of. He's eternal, and his Amen. Ways are eternal. And heaven's learning more about God every single day. And I'm thankful for the hunger he gives us, and for the call, and that he made us. God created us. What a great thing that God has given us life. And
Amen.
And the sincerity that you bring to the table is refreshing, and I thank God for you. And I pray God's great blessing on you, Ray, and on your family's life that God has already put on you. But I pray for a greater and greater awakening day after day
yes.
to all that he's called you to do. And God, transform your family's lives, your children's lives, and everything that God has in the present that he's revealing to you in the steps that we take, which we call the future. God be glorified. And thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
I pray God's blessing on you. God awaken you to a great new day of excitement and insight and encouragement to being this reality, for this reality to be your reality. This is the greatest day of my life. God is for me. Who could possibly be against me? No one. God bless you. Until next time.